This show is rated PG.
Welcome back, guys, to episode 3 of the Variable Play Podcast.
Yay!
And Nathan's here, our studio audience.
Loyal studio audience.
You were wearing that last night.
Just kidding. It's the Monday.
And as promised...
Remember Monday?
Oh, right.
And as promised, we have a very special guest today, aside from Nathan. We have Jay.
Hello.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, hello. Hey.
So yes, I get that all the time.
So Jay, can you tell us about yourself?
Hi. My name is Jay Anyong. That's not Korean. I work in an advertising agency, and on my spare time and stuff, I put together role playing games.
Yep, and he published the game that we're going to be playing. Mm. You published it 2011, I think?
Yeah, 2011.
And it's published by what company?
It's currently being hosted by Stargazer Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owned by Michael Wolf, a friend of mine from Germany.
Oh, nice.
He also makes free role-playing games, and we decided to put this one together in a crazed moment when I was hopped up on too much sugar.
Yeah, from the title, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was, you were hopped up on sugar and watching 80s TV shows.
I will admit that I spent youth of watching too many bad B movies on Laserdisc.
Ooh, Laserdisc.
What's a Laserdisc?
Think of it as a giant CD. The size of a vinyl. Ooh. No needles.
It.
It's just laser.
Me.
Yeah, it's the 80s, so laser is spelled with a Z.
So, this is still your host, Ron.
Jose.
Red.
Hi.
So, anyway, for today, it's a special. We're not talking about board games, but we're talking about playing a role-playing game today.
Yeah, and it falls under the umbrella of tabletop games. So, in general, it's basically a game that you play on top of a table.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
just let's do something crazy.
Yeah, Jay, about this, we were discussing about role playing games.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for a system for my son, and we were browsing. You were suggesting a lot of things, and Badass came about, and I was really hooked in the idea. It's like, okay, that will work as a podcast because. I have a writer with me, Jose is always hilarious, and I'm really happy that you graced us with your presence. It's pretty awesome, so we are hyped up. And
could you tell us something about the game?
Badass is technically my love letter to the 80s action movies of my misspent youth.
Uh-huh.
And essentially you play 80s action heroes. Though there's a bit of a spin in the sense that you can mix and match whatever two concepts you want. Because if you actually look at the 80s, you have some really strange concepts. You have time-traveling robot. What else do you have in the 80s? You have blind ninja. So
transforming robot.
You have like Howard running around. This blind
running
ninja.
Man? No?
No, Running Man was Schwarzenegger. But that was also salary man mass murderer.
$1 billion guy.
Blind Fury. I think that was Rutger Hauer, a Vietnam veteran, gets hit by either...
I was born 1989, so...
gets hit by some sort of explosive. I'm trying to remember if it's a mine or something. Is blinded by the explosion, gets nursed to health, in Vietnam, by the way, and is taught to use a katana.
Ooh, wow.
Because in
the Vietnam,
80s,
they had katanas.
In the 80s, Asia was one big place. Anyway... Anyone in Asia had katana.
You live in Japan, right?
So essentially that was the 80s, and Badass is all about that. So I guess let me go ahead and quote from the book itself, I guess. Badass is not a game that you can attempt to work your way around with logic. In fact, Badass kicks that logic in the face, twists its arm behind its back, and makes it cry for its mama.
Ooh.
Kick a reinforced metal door off its hinges? Badass. Catch a bullet with your teeth. Badass. Slice through an Abrams tank with your katana. Badass. Does it make sense? No. Does it have to? Hell no. In fact, the moment you start making sense is the moment you lose your badass points. According to your mewling, pathetic 98-pound weakling, you truly are.
Yeah.
We're getting ahead of
90 pounds.
So, yeah.
Woohoo! I'm 90 pounds! We're role-playing already.
Right, so...
I like this game already.
Let's all be 90-pound weakling. No, but I guess before we get started, just to go through some very, very basic mechanics, the one core mechanic for this game really is the concept of badass points. I'm sure a lot of you have played role-playing games before, either on tabletop or from computer games.
Mm.
So think of it this way. Your badass points are both your hit points and mana.
Okay. Okay, okay. Oh.
Right.
Interesting. Sacrifice yourself.
Yes. So everybody starts with 5 badass points to begin with. And you can spend badass points through several ways, which we'll get to in the game. And every time you spend badass points, it translates to awesomeness. So not
Why
only
not?
Are you trying to get badass points, you're also trying to find ways to spend badass points. Because badass points are useless if they're just points. You need to use them to become badass. Okay, so if you run out of badass points, you become an average Joe. Which basically means if you get hit once, you die. Hopefully that doesn't happen. And, the only way to keep badass points flowing like beer in a frat party is to keep doing things awesomely.
Mm-hmm.
The moment your character stops to consider anything that seems overly cautious or overly planned, then I deduct the badass point. So your character has to be on all the time.
Levels.
So, you know, during the game, there are two categories for you to get badass points back. And in downtime, you have methods like, you know, go through a training montage. Describe your training montage for your character. Learn a special skill or something that works for you.
I can't wait to describe my training montage.
Exactly. I can't wait to describe mine.
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting. You can have flashback. You can describe a moment of personal affirmation. Maybe something relating to your, you know, defining moment as a badass. And while you're in a fight, badass points by describing things like in slow motion. You can give a bad pun or a one-liner during the action. You can do...
I don't know how's that going to work with my character.
Well, let's see. You can use others. I mean, you can also pose down. You can flourish a weapon. I'll give you an extra point if you actually do it as a player.
Brandish weapon, okay.
All right, brandish weapon. Describe a dramatic entrance. Or trash talk.
Okay.
So there are ways to...
You...
Everything's against you!
I know the one who chose that, but that works! That works. I would actually give it extra points for that, for doing that in character.
Oh.
Another way is to provide a soundtrack. As in, like, you don't necessarily have to sing or play it. If you have it on your phone, then great. If not, then you can just tell us what song is going through your head right now. And if it fits, then great. Yeah, and everything else is against a target number that I assign. And if you roll higher than the target number, then you succeed. And if you don't, then you fail. Everything else is just, you know, stuff that we can learn along the way. But in general, that's pretty much it. Try to keep as many badass, spend them to gain awesomeness. And, you know, generally just keep yourselves on 110% all the time.
Okay.
All right.
Alright, cool.
So just a recap of the characters, we have Jose.
Okay, so my character is Big Claw. He's actually a T-Rex who was found frozen in the Arctic. And his badass moment was when he chopped down an evil helicopter out of the sky.
Okay.
And his flavors, he's a dinosaur. And little do you know.
Yeah. Okay.
To be revealed later.
That makes sense.
He's
you're Captain America. As a dinosaur.
As a dinosaur.
Who's really a robot. No,
Ron, mine is Kit. Kit is in the car for Knight Rider. The story is the Hasselhoff finally was defeated by time. Kit finds himself lost with emotions, causing Kit's programming sentience. Now Kit drives solo in the Metro Traffic.
Or...
Okay.
Just looking for Connor.
Hugo. My badass type is Kick-Ass.
Robot type.
Okay.
That I am a robot, I'm a sentient Camaro.
What?
We have like two Transformers on this table right now. One pretending to be Kid.
No, I'm really a car, I don't transform.
I know, I'm just saying. They're pretending to be Kid, but they're actually a different Camaro.
That was the transform of Bumblebee.
Pretty much.
Wow.
So he doesn't let anyone
missing Hasselhoff's butt. Where are you? Where are you?
Yes,
David Buns.
The best buns.
I used to pull them every day.
I was
prom queen, class president, everything, you know. And it doesn't matter that he's a senator. It wasn't any of that. It was my social marketing skills that made me famous. But you don't get to where I am without making enemies. You know, it was my inaugural speech, and I just was starting it by saying hello, but it was the last word I ever heard.
Yes.
'Cause somebody jacked up that amplifier and just bled my ears out. Everyone was like knocked over with the sound, but I withstood it. Crushed up against the bulletproof glass in front of me that saved them all. And that was my defining moment. So I'm a wise ass, but I can't hear or speak a lot.
Yeah.
That's me.
And last
one. Oh,
Nathan's
back.
Yay!
Our studio audience.
Yeah. Is now participating. Alright, so I am happy Fillmore. My defining moment was when I won the golf tournament, caught under the tutelage of Morgan Freeman, aka God's Voice. I rest my case. Therefore, after winning the game, I was elected into office because that's how badass I am. And therefore, I feel awesome. I am awesome and I feel awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, right.
We have a disabled debutante, an extremely influential politician,
golf,
badass
golfer,
a sentient car, and a mysterious dinosaur.
T-Rex
that fought a helicopter.
Because helicopters are evil.
Right. I already have something that I can use for that. Right, so next up, everybody just note that you have 5 badass points.
5 badass points.
Yes, if you guys have in pencil, badass points will go up and down very, very quickly in this game.
Oh, really?
Also, you guys begin with no points in awesomeness. Don't worry, it won't stay that way for long.
No.
And after that, you can give your badass some gear. I don't have a list of gear, actually. It's just write down whatever feels appropriate for your character.
Arm extenders.
Credit card.
Like one of those. Yeah. Fantastic. Like grippy robot claws.
Mechanical arm extenders.
Fantastic.
I have...
You can now hang the laundry.
Yeah. It'll scratch my head.
That worked.
Oh, mine, I have missile launchers, a thermal expander.
How many?
Black ice. And grappling hook.
As many as you will be able to make.
Oh,
so you can have like a campaign poster.
Armor.
A golf club. That sort of thing.
Credit card.
Right. So actually, that's it as far as character creation goes. It's
oh, wow,
really
that's
fast.
For a role-playing game.
Yeah. If you think about it, there's not a lot of other things you need to consider and a context as to where you're playing and what this is all about. The game is set in Central City, once the shining beacon of a brighter future in America. Central City has been reduced into a gallery of shattered hopes and broken dreams. Urban decline started in the 80s, when criminal activity combined with a corrupt police force resulted in the mass migration of many businesses and residents. As if drawn to this festering carcass of a city, Vermin have made a permanent home here, ranging from common street thugs to gang bosses that wine and dine atop the few remaining skyscrapers that haven't been abandoned. But life finds a way, and those who call Central City home have proven to be a hardy group of people, with big hearts and strong wills. Central City is home to many a badass, each of which works to protect his little neighborhood from the predations of criminal scum. And now, with the election of a new mayor from a police background and an untarnished reputation, many citizens are starting to feel that there's a chance for Central City. More and more people are starting their own little campaigns to take their beloved city back, block by bloody block. And so this is where your characters come in. As badasses, I'm going to skip ahead since this is a one-shot and assume that everybody knows each other.
Okay.
So there won't be any sort of like awkward introductions.
I come in the city, I break down the gate with the prom queen on my back, and I just roar, extending my arms.
Roar! And I'm assuming like Kit is like
driving around, drifting around. Is after he just parked on the corner. you see the red light squint.
I ride in a horse with Morgan Freeman at my back. He's always going to be with me.
And he's telling.
So you essentially bought
Morgan Freeman. Oh, there he is, Morgan.
He says God.
Morgan Freeman as my spirit animal. Okay, that works. That works for me. And you guys are all here specifically because the city hall is currently in ruins. It is a smoking husk, and people are like staggering out. Their bodies covered in soot and torn in places. One stumbles over, grabs you, well, your pants leg, and tells you, "The mayor. They took the mayor."
The only one with pants, Bella.
Of all this group, yes.
Oh, yeah. I have the only
one. Where's the pants?
I wear the pants.
Unless Morgan Freeman is wearing pants as well.
No, Morgan Freeman is
in a... He's an NPC.
Morgan Freeman is in his god robes, I'm assuming.
It looks right. Like your friend is in trouble.
I've done that. Alright.
Please, you have to get him back. They stole the mayor.
I move.
Writes down on iPad.
Daddy!
That's where you got me. Exactly.
I move in close to the civilian and start sniffing him.
He hides behind the horse, hoping that the horse will be a tastier snack.
Then I roar, because my prey disappeared.
Kit starts to log into the city network and starts scanning for footages of what happened to the event and how the attack happened.
Okay. Digging through the... Okay, normally doing intelligence stuff like that is... No, that's fine. In this case. Alright, so... you slug through what feels like an eternity of bad pornography. Okay. Will you find...
We all know why it feels
rocking
like
back and forth.
What we all know why it's an eternity.
So finally, you come to you manage to get foot of the mayor actually taken away by this group of thugs that they're dressed in equipment.
Okay.
Dragging him, and the mayor Maximilian Steele is he used to be a badass, but he's put on a lot of weight after he got pulled. So they dragged him. They dragged him off. They took him
on a helicopter
with some jagged scar marks on the side.
Wait, on a? they took him on a?
On a helicopter
with jagged scar.
And I recall the moment that I took down the helicopter.
Yes.
And that enrages me.
Yes, because you also realize that's the exact same helicopter. Also, you recognize who the helicopter is.
Who the helicopter?
Yes.
Who?
Kit recognizes.
You
who
know
the helicopter
it,
is.
It's Cat.
It was that thing in the
You just said sports equipment.
Sports equipment.
I use sports equipment.
And I know my last name.
Sports equipment.
And I know my last name is Steel.
Supplier.
My last name is Steel.
Oh my.
I'm guessing we start running, gunning for the...
We have no chase.
Which way did you go?
No, I show you the direction where.
Go ahead and make your roll.
Nathan is rolling.
2d6. Are you, sorry, what kind of badass are you?
He's a
smartass.
Smartass, so you get an automatic +2 to that roll. So go ahead and make that roll.
Alright.
Since you use sports equipment, it's not going to be difficult. Alright, so you rolled an 8. +2, that's a 10. That's more than enough to make the difficulty for that. You know exactly which mall that's
where that's
bought from. Exactly. So you go there.
Yes.
You have, like, you know, you've seen people. So while you digest this information, Kit, on the other hand, comes to I guess you realize who the helicopter is. It's Airwolf.
Okay.
You really didn't recognize Airwolf.
Yeah, so it's from
if I see something, it's on my iPad.
As I said, 1989.
So yeah, at this point I would actually be playing the Airwolf theme.
Oh wait, sorry, helicopter. Oh wait, sorry.
Yeah.
It's really a helicopter.
And so on in the...
It's the stealth helicopter.
The truck and then the...
I don't know, I remember. All I know is it's like a stealth helicopter, and there are only two pilots ever. they're almost as bad as the Phoenix Foundation, where you have MacGyver and the Paul Gas.
Yes, yeah.
And that's the entire Phoenix Foundation.
Yeah, we have this recorded.
Anyway,
it's gonna be an episode full of lawsuits, apparently.
That's right, it's not like they're going to charge. We're not making money out of this.
That's true. We're paying for it.
So, you recognize Airwolf.
Okay.
You recognize the scars that you left on Airwolf.
Yeah.
So, you recognize the sports equipment.
Yes.
You recognize your dad. Not everybody's involved in this damn game.
Just like a bad 80s movie.
Exactly. And we did it in less than 10 minutes. This is what happens when you get a GM and then like hop him up an ice cream before he comes to the game. So, you know exactly where it is, and you guys are all headed to the Ultra Mall. Which is, you know, think Mega Mall, but Ultra. It's a massive mall complex thing that has like a theme park inside and all that stuff, but it's fallen into disrepair. So now it's like a tiny village in itself, where you have like hobos on the ground floor, various other burning.
So now it's like Alabang Town Center.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was about to say Ali Mall, but Harrison Plaza. Anyways.
So I drive through, I drift along the city, revving with glitters.
Glitters?
Shining 3D.
I am running behind Kit.
Right.
Like a T-Rex, and
I mean,
jumping as well, hopping over, smashing cars.
Right.
As well.
Yep.
You guys are bounding and driving towards the Ultra Mall. You guys hear the sound of motorcycles coming up from behind you as like half a dozen of these black leather jacket clad biker ninjas start sweeping.
I don't
in.
Hear them, Muna.
You catch a glance in the mirror as you see like half a dozen. What do you call it? Half a dozen biker ninjas.
Just to send the picture,
yes.
It seems that
we have biker ninjas behind us.
Yeah, so the jock president politician is riding his horse.
Yes.
I'm driving solo with no driver. He says, no. Nobody can ride in my car.
what am I doing?
Oh, you have your own car. Nobody can drive.
I can't even drive.
Not even allowed to drive.
You did that one.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're not horrible people.
So
we
yes,
go to church
yeah,
sometimes.
I paused it.
We have, half a dozen ninjas. Right, so
biker
how this works
ninjas,
is that the biker ninjas
yep.
Move at an initiative of 2. So in terms of determining initiative, you guys have to spend badass points. So it's essentially a bidding. The higher your bid, the faster you move.
Mm.
But it deducts from your badass points automatically. So
I will
out of your 5, how many will you be bidding? You have to bid at least 1.
I'll bid 1.
I'll bid 2.
Okay.
I'll bid 3.
I'll bid 2.
Okay, so that basically kicks first, then
so we just
you bid 2, right? So is Steel will be moving at the same time as the biker ninjas, and then everybody else gets the move.
I was two.
Okay, so both of you.
I'm going last because I'm a big T-Rex and I moved, so.
Okay, that's fine with me. Right, so declaration of actions. What is Kit doing at this point?
So, well, it looks at its own side mirror, that it's basically its eyes, and sees that there are 12 bikers. Screeches to a halt.
Actually, 6, half a dozen.
Okay, sorry.
That's 6. A lot of it. I wouldn't mind. Let's start off with 6 for now.
Well, Kit's old. So
he's seen double.
No, because he's looking to mirrors.
Objects are closer to them here.
Apparently, they multiply.
This is why he left you.
So.
oh my god. Kit
feels animosity because. The scooter boys again.
Okay.
You know, they always cut on the right and they don't signal properly. Always see your blind spots.
You really are a sneaky old man. Okay, that was that. Right.
So he screeches to a halt, opens up both doors,
hoping he'd
catch catching at least two of the guys.
All right.
Hopefully to incapacitate them right away.
So that's a basic attack. Go ahead and make your roll. That's 2d6 plus. You get a bonus of +2 because you're a kick-ass.
Mm-hmm.
So all physical action combat nets you a +2. So go ahead and roll for that.
I get a 7.
So 7. That's 9 total. Your opposition. Considering that these are all mooks, I am technically rolling one die for all 6, essentially.
Okay.
Nope, that's 5. So no, they actually get hit. You score a 9, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So that's 4 over. That means you deal 1 point of damage for them. And since we were talking about a group, instead of hit points per mook, it really just deducts from their total number. So one of them slams into the door and careens off somewhere and falls into a burning trash can in the road, while the other manages to just enough to avoid the other door that you
open. Yeah.
So how many left?
5.
And Kit activates its inside wipers to clean
inside wipers. There are inside wipers. Hasselhoff, why did you install that? Is the splash that and all bad?
If you read his,
what does happen in that car, Hasselhoff?
If you read his inside character wipers. Sheet, the seats have plastic cover.
So cleans off the sheepskin blood
to forever preserve the corduroy.
Yeah, we're then I close the door and start to face.
And now it's your
I'll go first. Am I in Kit? No.
No.
I'm not in Kit.
No.
I'm
in the car.
You're gonna be either with Morgan Freeman or
I'll be with Morgan Freeman, but I kind of fall off the horse and kind of tumble in the ground and kind of act all hurt and everything. With my high heels, which are really sharp. And I kind of wait for a move to go there. And obviously, how many are going for me now?
At this point, let's assume that the fight weaving back and forth in range.
Okay, I will look there, and the moment I sense him close, I just kind of look there, and my eye glints through my fallen hair. And I go into my high heels martial arts move and kind of leap onto the back of motorcycle and kind of just twist his head off and get
and take the motorcycle. Fantastic. Okay, that's great.
Have you seen Legolas do that?
All right, for that I actually will award you a badass.
So
you go ahead and add 1, so you're back up to 4. Sorry. Another thing is that you can also spend a badass point to get an additional die to the roll. So now it's 3 dice. But again, since you're basically just regular mooks, you might want to hold on until you're fighting like another badass.
I know a guy.
That's true.
Boom!
Okay,
fantastic.
Okay, he's
rolling a 9.
That's a 9. Okay.
You realize social skills, balaw.
Biker. Oh my God, Snake Eyes. You know what? I suck at rolling. Anyway, Snake Eyes. The guy is. It goes exactly as you intend. You leap onto his back, get his attention, snap his neck, throw him off, and take over the motorcycle all to yourself. Right.
Hey, Kit, what's up? Got a missed spot there.
Okay,
now it's my turn.
Yes.
So basically, my golfer, Happy Happy Gilmore, is galloping beside these bikers, catching up. Are they catching up to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're catching up to me. I slow down, of course. How am I supposed to fight them? I'm so far ahead.
Maintaining the speed. That's great.
Alright. So then magically I will change seats with Morgan.
Who's narrating everything?
Yes. As we
speak. You should do that in his voice.
I cannot do Morgan Freeman's voice.
Happy, happy Gilmore.
Slow
down. As happy, happy, happy Gilmore slows down.
And then of course, we switch places, and I turn backwards because I want to convince these bikers to stop following me and instead go follow the girl who snapped one of their friends' heads.
Are you a wise ass then?
I'm a smart ass.
He's a smart ass.
Right. So instead of going to me, I tell Morgan Freeman to convince this biker dude who I'm currently talking to while I'm galloping right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And convince that biker to.
Do you really want to go for happy? Would you like to go for that piece of X?
that's a good one.
Go ahead.
All right.
Make a roll.
Take a roll.
What?
Oh, my bad. It's an 8. Okay. Let's find out if these guys convinced by Morgan Freeman.
Come on, it's Morgan Freeman.
Oh my god.
No, I would pay $1 million for him to narrate 5 minutes of my life.
I tried, happy.
So essentially, that's what you hear. I tried, happy. Gordon swapped back just in time to get in the place.
I tried, happy. I tried.
Okay, right. So since he's taking his action to attack you, he has to roll. So don't worry, it's not an instant hit just yet. So he apparently is brandishing a length of chain and swings it over his head and tries to make a smack right across your ribs.
Save me.
It is an 8.
So I need to...
You have to beat the 8.
Higher. Do you want to spend a badass point?
No, because die. Morgan will save me. Morgan, save.
Happy,
oh no!
Happy no more. Takes a whip to his chest.
Okay.
Yes,
he did not like Bruce Almighty.
He scores a hit, and it's 4 points above your defense. Thankfully, it basically deals 1 point of damage. So deduct that from your badass points.
Oh no, happy.
So yes, he is the badass both in your game.
Yeah, but yeah.
Right. So that's all the actions for
the gooks.
No.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Sorry, that was.
This is a children's show, guys.
Alright, go. Okay.
So it's the
bikers. It's your action. Oh. You're ready at that.
Okay, so I do the Godzilla scene where he's being chased by an Apache helicopter, where he turns
so
to my left.
Princess Steel basically rides up to one police, having missed.
Okay, so it's my turn. I do the Godzilla move where he's being chased by an Apache helicopter,
right?
Where he turns to a left, then suddenly attacks from underneath.
Okay, all right. You mean the American Godzilla?
The American Godzilla.
Okay.
The
I was like,
one.
That's surprisingly athletic.
Yeah, he digs under.
For a dude in a rubber suit.
Oh, it's a 4 plus 2.
Alright, so 6.
6, I don't like this.
Let's see if we manage to grab a dude on a motorcycle. So we're snapping up from above. Ah, surprisingly you do.
Yeah.
Roll a 5. So yeah, you hit, do 1 point of damage, you basically chomp on one of them, and now they're down to 4 bikers.
Yeah, my turn.
Yeah. Alright.
Shit. As he's... So, after slamming one guy flying off, cranks his own handbrake, drifts, and does a 360 drift to face the bikers. And then in front, you just see the lights flop down and missile come out.
All right.
And I'm shooting at all 4.
Okay. Since you're using your missiles, I'm assuming that you did stab them up as weapons. So
yep.
I'm giving you a +2 for those weapons because they're supposed to be missiles anyway. So
it's my physical.
Yeah.
Roll +2 anyway.
Yeah. So no, actually, it's your physical roll +2 plus another dude.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Weapon
bonus. So go ahead and make a roll for that.
7.
All right. 7. Let's find out if these
7 plus 2 plus 2.
The way. Fantastic. New. It's an 8. So that's okay. You managed to dispatch another one, so they're down to just 4.
Okay.
Nice. They're seriously getting really really. Concerned about the fact that they can't seem to stop any of you guys.
Yeah, the missiles travel. I actually start to zoom in on each one, and I can see each missile firing and hitting one. The others are sort of skidding out of the way. And
they managed to skid out of the way in time. Meanwhile, Happy Gilmore.
Meanwhile, Happy Gilmore is not
happy
anymore.
No longer happy.
Happy whips out his golf club.
All right.
Finally
somewhere.
Yes. Because Morgan ain't working for me anymore. Right? So I will whip out.
Morgan ran away with the princess.
I want the rings. Oh no, that's why.
I'm sorry,
my humor ain't paying him anymore.
He really left.
Alright, so I whip out my golf club and face one of these bikers. Yes. And then I try to swing at one.
Alright.
Trying to damage.
No, you know what's cooler? You put like a... You still put a bottle and you hit
them. Yes, that seems cooler.
Yeah, and just to help you, I deploy on the side of my door a special ball just for you.
All right.
Yeah, with a roll out green. Because apparently you funded kids program.
All right. So this politician whips out his golf club, and I will try to attack one of the bikers.
Okay.
All right.
Go for it. And wow. It's a 7. So
plus.
Don't I get like
plus 2 for your so 9.
It's 9.
Okay. That's actually a good roll. Great. Biker Ninja attempts to dodge a 9. Biker Ninja rolls a 5, doesn't hit. So essentially, camera shows Biker Ninja's helmet, reflection of Happy.
Yes, pulls a swing. And
like the MTV.
Pretty much.
The Happy Gilmore intro.
Yes.
Right. As crack. There's this vicious crack. The visor breaks. The guy falls off somewhere, and the bike careens out of all, smashing into like off to one side.
And they start eating him.
That's what was happening. No, they steal his stuff.
Okay.
They steal his stuff while he is still twitching, and they check his wallet.
And found out his name was Dave.
Yes, poor Dave. Okay, so now we're down to like 3 bikers left. And bikers' time to attack. So there are 3 of them left, rally, and they realize that one of you guys has disappeared. So they're going for the dinosaur.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah, they moves at the same time as the.
Yeah. Well, I killed one at 4, so that's 3.
He all right.
One,
okay, so that's 2. Okay. So 2 of them. They see the dinosaur. They figure they might as well take the biggest one down, and in an act of surprising intelligence, the two link a length of chain between the two of them and attempt to trip you over.
Okay, but what I do is I put my mechanical arms forward and try to get them by the neck.
Sounds good. Hold on, let me roll for the MOOC.
Oh, wow.
That
wow.
is a 10. That is a 10.
I can't beat a 10.
You can?
Yeah, you can.
Why not?
8, 9, 10.
There.
I got a 10.
Yep. Okay, since it's a tie, that basically means that...
I should have gotten the arm wrestling.
Defense wins.
Defense wins. Okay.
So
what I do is I grab them by the necks.
Yep.
And I raise them up real high, then I clog them up together.
Okay. Go ahead and make your attack roll.
8.
4. Okay. So you nice. Clump them together, one is unconscious and falls into heap as you release your grabby arms.
The mechanical toy grabby arms.
Yeah, yes. Now you have like, there's this just one who lands on his feet, amazingly, because he is a ninja, and deploys a smoke bomb to disappear.
He survived.
So now you guys are down by one, and the Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, because Morgan Freeman ran away with the prom.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
to quote a certain other movie.
I'm so
you're bashed. Only losers try to bash. Winners come home and fuck the prom queen. Okay. So with that, you guys were travels to the Ultra Mall, and you guys to. Take a moment to rest. But this is, I'm assuming this is downtime.
Mm-hmm.
No combat at this point. But are there any actions that you guys
have? Yeah, it's a nice wide area. I go through the parking lot, my hood at the back, my compartment opens up, and I'm deploying cones behind me. And then by the time I reach the 50th cone, I start again handbrake myself into I'm doing my own slalom practice just to keep my wheels warm,
all right.
Ready for the next match.
So I on my character side, I
break down the nearest wall to the nearest deli in the mall and start eating.
Okay.
Because I'm hungry.
Okay.
It wouldn't be hard because I have grabby arms, so I can get like the meat and just feed it.
Right. Okay.
I go out in the open grass, feed my horse.
He's gonna be my main source. Morgan left me. The horse needs to survive.
And you tell the horse. And you look at the camera. So imagine me. Now look at me. Look at your man. Now look at me.
And I feed and water the horse.
Okay. At this point, technically, most downtimes take place in between like big combat scenes. And this is where the story gets pushed forward. You guys have an option to regain lost badass points at this point by doing any of the actions that I earlier described. In your case, you were doing a training montage.
Yep. I was first.
Yeah, I think doing that. You're chomping down on a deli is a moment of personal affirmation. It's in you are a dinosaur.
I realize that I'm still dead. I'm still part dinosaur.
Okay. Yeah. As the horse is, you know, you're flashing.
You remember a good old day.
Yes,
the good old days.
And the cool part is that doing that, I actually have an on-screen display that simulates me sort of in a fight scene, and I'm actually
reenacting,
you know, firing stuff and drift. Those cones are basically just for me to have a physical reference.
Well, the horse was actually
in my
upright for getting a hole in one of the tournaments.
Fantastic. Okay, so everybody gets to roll 1d6, and the amount that you roll out of badass points you get back.
I rolled a 4.
Wow.
So I roll. I
get
an
4?
8.
I also get a 4.
So I rolled a 4.
Yeah, so you get 4 points back.
Ooh, nice.
You can exceed your original 5
or right. 4 as well.
Guys. Giving you the die to set your life. Okay.
Oh.
Instead of writing it down in a pen.
Because you have a pen.
Now kids, please prepare a pencil if you want to play role-playing games. You're good. Erase and rest up a lot.
Pencils are good for you. Okay, so since you guys have that, take note of how many badass points you guys have already spent. In this case, you spent it on initiative. I think you spent it on initiative.
I did. I spent one.
Spend one, you spent three.
I spent three.
And you spent two.
Right. So take note of that. Just for, I guess, the information audience, the way that badass works is that every time you hit a certain number of awesomeness, you get something. So in this case, if you get 30 awesomeness, you get an additional flavor.
Bonus.
Yeah. So every time you accumulate 30, you get one. And then if you hit to 60, you get another. 90 and
so
another.
It's like a
miles. Yeah, so it's a milestone every time you hit. So try and spend your badass points however possible because it automatically benefits.
Wait, how much? How many?
But for the world, it doesn't go.
It does.
Okay. So
deliberately staking a lot of your life
to
begin with, you're immediately rewarded by a slight boost in your awesomeness.
Right. So I have a.
So likewise, in combat, you know, spend.
Oh, awesomeness is the points you spend.
Yes. Every time you spend badass points, it turns into awesomeness.
Okay.
The only time that it doesn't translate that way is if you get hit, take damage, and you lose a badass point through get.
Okay.
That's the only time it does. So yeah. Okay. It's at this point that you guys are, you know, in your sort of rest between fighting when you catch a glimpse of.
I can detect sort of a weird frequency from the dinosaur that he finds odd.
Okay.
Like, it's odd that it's a dinosaur that he seems to sort of see some.
It's the mechanical arms.
I'm trying to figure out if it's the mechanical arms or just the fact that he's surrounded by a bunch of refrigerators.
There's a, like, sort of an EMP
there, and they seem to be beating up on the bear for information. Behind this shadowy thing, a hockey mask that conceals his features. But much to Kit's consternation, you recognize those locks anywhere.
You remember that butt anywhere.
I check the butt.
And this is where we end this session. Will I check the butt?
You would check the butt. I would listen for the voice. It might be more.
It's good.
It could always be Morgan.
All right, so well, yeah, that is a really unique RPG, man. That is awesome. It's like the constant really trying to ramp up from what you previously did. And you have to maintain that energy, and then aside from that, all of the 80s references that you have to manage, and if you're somewhere in between the 90s, and you have to now figure out like how to plug in the 90s reference.
I don't know how many times I said this. 1989.
No, actually, to be fair, the game doesn't necessitate 80s references. It's just that I realized that you were playing Kit.
And so I realized that it. And I was playing as a T-Rex.
And you were playing as a T-Rex, so, you know.
No, it's pretty cool. The other option I was looking at was sort of the son of Hannibal Smith on 80, because that one I also really watched. So it feels great to sort of reenact those childhood memories. I guess a suggestion for players so that your characters, if you need to update it to like 2000 or, you know, even modern times of like Mission Impossible and whatnot, it works the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's now the GM's task to make sure that his trivia spans as long as can.
Actually, in terms of badass, the important thing is just that you keep the action flowing, because everybody's expected to go one up everybody else. One of the people which reviewed this actually from another blog mentioned that it's actually perfect fit for running a game based on the penguins of Madagascar.
Okay.
Because it's all the same. You just like smart penguin.
Yeah. Tough perfect.
Penguin. And you can just remap the entire thing and it will still run.
Okay. Nothing beats that.
That difficult.
I'm trying to do it for my son, and that's how I met you. We were talking about it. All these systems and all these rules and all the books that you have to read through 600, 1,000 pages.
Correct.
It's fine if you have the time. And if I got into RPGs maybe when I was younger, then it would have been really easy to just grasp the new ones and just upgrade and update whatever database I have. But I'm really going into it as a new GM.
Right.
And this one is fantastic because it's so simple that, cool. It's pretty much, you don't have to have a super long saga. You can spin it every turn that you go, really about storytelling. And I think the reason why I invited you in the whole concept of variable play is really to tell people the beauty of tabletop gaming, board gaming, role-playing games, imagination definitely. So this one is a perfect example of it.
Runs off
because
imagination.
You imagination literally have a half a sheet of paper. And that's it. That's all you need, and a couple of dice. And in fact, you can. The whole system is really, really simple to learn.
And the cool thing is that it's co-written by a Filipino.
Yes, that something is perfect.
Something we should be proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are more out there.
Yes, they are actually.
We're going to try to get them on the show, one way or another.
Cool. So,
okay, what we just did.
After the last, especially after that last line. I checked the box.
You're not making this easy for me. No, but as
how many years have you been doing GM for games?
I started in 97. In 97, I've been at it all throughout. I haven't really stopped in the hobby. I've slowed down a bit with the birth of my son. But, you know, I find ways. In terms of parenting advice, I guess my thing is that role-playing games make for a great way for your child to exercise basic math skills, decision-making, you know, you can actually put them into situations where they aren't in any actual danger, but get to experience even from a second-hand perspective what it feels like to be in a given situation. You can,
yeah.
So you can have a kid. You can tell them, okay, this is happening, and you have choice A, choice B, and then they can make a choice then, and nothing really bad happens. But at the same time, experience that so that when it does happen to him in real life or similar, he can call that moment and then hopefully make a proper decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the value in it. Role-playing was used as a technique by psychologists for a reason. The fact that it's been turned into a game also means that I guess we owe it to ourselves to use it properly when it comes to kids.
Of course,
but
of course.
If it's just for pure entertainment, you get stuff like I checked the butt.
Well, after my son met you while you were running an L5R game.
Yes.
Which
was a very, very involved political game.
Oh yeah, we actually stood up that point and we were starting arguing.
Yep. And my son and I were just playing board games and he was just weirded out. What are these guys doing? Like that, what are they doing? They're just standing there and talking. Oh, they're playing a role-playing game. What's that? Oh, dude, check it out. So he listened, and then after that, Dad, I want to play. Can I join them? Can I join them? I'm like, wait. that's how I started exploring what can I do to sort of clean up the environment. Because yes, if you have a bunch of adults, you can check out butts and a lot of other bleat. You guys will never hear.
This show is rated PG.
Yeah, we should do that. Sorry.
Right.
Just to give
it. Yeah, I think it really is. Okay, this can get a little strange, but I guess one of the rules of engagement when it comes to RPGs, like in a lot of other social activities, is that you really need to set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I feel a lot of people could, you know, use more often. And
mm-hmm.
like for an RPG, you need to make sure that, you know, these are lines that you do not cross. Okay, it's fine that we play a freewheeling game, but like, for example, Badass, I personally would never run one where you actually see someone being, say, raped, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are certain taboos that I will not cross when it
yeah.
comes to certain games.
I agree.
And again, you tailor it to your players, mm-hmm. tailor it to their comfort zones. You make sure that there is respect around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And this is especially important for the GM. I guess one of the things I'd like to call out as being unique to RPGs is, unlike a board game where all the rules are already set and everybody's
yep.
playing within a closed system, in RPGs, the GM has to enforce that.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little bit of an authority at times, because sometimes there are things that, you know, these things will not pass muster, these things should not happen
mm-hmm.
In a game, and that often involves people skills from times, because if you don't, then
you're literally the host of the party,
right? So
party as in dungeon party, or party as a bunch of weird robots and dinosaurs.
Right. So yeah.
Car, dinosaur, and a god. and a
well, a god who left
with
our princess.
And
yes.
Yeah. And
prom queen.
Yeah. Prom queen. So overall, it's again, I would highly encourage it. There are a lot of free and very, very economical RPGs that you can check out.
Yeah.
In fact, I can probably give them to you so you can add them to your show notes.
Cool.
So
yeah.
We'll provide links to these as well as a copy of where to download.
Also,
that
feel free to advertise your website. Your blog.
Oh yeah. I write for Life and Times of a Philippine Gamer. You can check it out at philgamer.wordpress.com. On it, I usually do RPG game reviews, occasional session recaps,
mm-hmm.
Some RPG advice, and pretty much anything. I am perfectly willing to take on like any comments. If you guys want to hear anything in particular, or want to see me talk about anything or a particular game, let me know.
Cool. And you guys also host this sort of seminar every once a month,
every,
right?
Every end of the month. They're trying to every end of the month.
Yeah, we're trying. So a group of volunteers are working to start off a series of gaming seminars revolving around RPGs. So if you're new to the hobby, or if you just want to pick up a couple of new tips, how to improve your game, then feel free to join us. We usually run at every last Sunday of each month.
Languages International.
Yeah, Languages International. What do you call this? We usually post the details in the Philippine Tabletop RPG group on Facebook. So just make a search for that. You'll find us there.
All right. So hope you guys enjoyed that very unique episode.
We did.
And I'm definitely hungry for more, so hopefully we can schedule the next one really soon. And again, Jay, super thanks for joining us. In short notice.
No problem. No. I was actually very, very happy to be invited. It's recording a podcast is not
you're our first official guest.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he is.
He's our school audience.
He's our audience.
Someone in the audience.
All right. So that's it. Thank you guys for listening. See you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Wait for our next episode.
That was Horrible Play Podcast.
Brought to you by Jay. He hosted this one.